Hi, this is Jello Biafra. What should you rather have? A pint of booze if you're a recovering alcoholic, or a pint of cacophony, no matter what or who you are?
Speak into the mic, bitch.
Say that into the microphone.
Keep on rocking in the free world, and I mean rock, not pop punk. Not indie poo. Not middle of the road, Miley Cyrus-y dreck.
You're a freak with a microphone.
Welcome to another episode of A Pint of Cacophony. My name's Dan Patronillo. We're sitting here at Skid Row Studios. Today's a cool fucking day. We got them Howlin' Bones here. We're going to have some fun. They're going to play some music. How you doing, Alex?
Good, dude.
Matt, you got a good week?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, you ready for today?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to open up this show with an interview we did yesterday, actually, on the phone with Mr. Justin Pearson of Retox and 31G Records and The Locust and so on and so forth. They have a new record, the Retox does, or just Retox, has a new record called Beneath California that comes out on Epitaph Records on Tuesday. And let's go to that conversation we had with Justin yesterday. Last time we talked on A Pint of Cacophony, we had Michael Crane in studio and you on the phone, and you guys mentioned that you are working on Beneath California. Do you want to fill in the gap for our audience and tell us about the conception and birth of Beneath California?
It's a weird question, because I feel like the stuff that we do is more organic than like sort of mapped out and specific. So it's always easier, like, once it's done and you've had some time to reflect on it, then you can kind of conceptualize what happened.
Yeah, like looking back.
So, yeah, because, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, there's already a start to what I could, you know, my critique of it, I guess. You know, it's like after YPLL, we kind of decided to get, I don't know, like, to maybe have it be less produced, sort of, and have just kind of hone in on like certain elements. And even though this is like our third, I guess by some standards, third album or full length, I mean, I still feel like we're kind of honing in on certain elements that would define Retox. So I think, you know, we're still kind of like evolving, and that's something that I would always welcome, and I hope that Retox or any project that me or, you know, Mike or whoever's involved in will always constantly be evolving.
Like a good band, like seasoned musicians that aren't, you know, just what are we doing this year? What are we going to do this next 6 months? We're growing as people and as musicians, and each project is part of that growth rather than like, let's do this release and then in 2016 we're going to do another release.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I also feel like we don't really have the ability to say like in this month or this year, let's do this. Like it sounds cheesy, but we live day by day, you know. I mean, we do have to schedule things ahead of time, but we're all hustling and we have, you know, like kind of crazy busy lives. And so it's not as easy as it would be like if this is like our job or something.
What's the meaning behind the title Beneath California?
Well, I was kind of just throwing some ideas out and Mike really seemed to like it. And I mean, basically I think it was just kind of drawing attention to, you know, like below the actual soil of the state, like below the ground, like what grows out of California. And I mean, it's sort of, maybe it's not as like, you know, punk or something as someone would want, you know, want to think, but it's also like, for me specifically, like growing up in San Diego, everyone always would ask like, why does all this weird stuff come out of San Diego? You know, and it was always kind of like this sort of tongue in cheek joke that you'd say like, it's in the water, you know, and metaphorically it is, because it's like, we're all drinking this fucked up shit to make us do what we do, you know? And I don't know why or how. I mean, I do kind of have an idea. I mean, I think at least for San Diego again, because I can't speak for Mike, and it's pretty like a pretty wide topic, I guess, because for me, growing up in San Diego, there was never a platform for being creative. You know, there was always kind of like military city, and there was always this like sort of like Republican stronghold, and just a lot of institutional racist and shit. So I feel like all the weird kind of like artistic and creative and activist type stuff that's come out here has just been this really like sort of offhanded slap in the face of society and maybe even the world at large in some respects and with some elements.
Just you touched on this earlier, but living in San Diego and being a seasoned musician, what have you noticed about the differences between Los Angeles and San Diego music scenes? And have you noticed any like big changes over the years for better or worse?
Well, there's a few strange things that I always focus on. Even when I met up with a friend of mine, we were talking about a cafe in San Diego and how UCSD closed it down. And the thing with San Diego is there's really never a decent platform for people to be musically or even artistically. There's not a lot of, creative arts. It's just like, we just want tourism, and there's like this fucked up Border Patrol element, and like just a lot of kind of really crazy, like sort of hostility towards, especially people of color, but a lot of people that are just kind of more creative and actually diverse.
Like life's eccentricities aren't welcome.
Exactly. Cause I think it's like, how is a city going to make money? We're one of the more desired cities as far as tourism goes. So like, I think that that's just what they focus on. But then, you know, with Los Angeles too, it's like, you do have this music that's sort of, I don't understand. It's like, to me, no offense to Los Angeles, cause there's awesome stuff there. Just like, and there's the Echo. There's a lot of really great venues. There's great restaurants. There's great record stores. There's all this really progressive stuff. There's really cool art. But as far as music, when you look at it from an outsider's perspective, it reminds me of like this leathery kind of like rocker dude who grew up like with hair metal and then kind of like grew up and like, because there's like these like kind of shitty venues. And even playing there now, it's like this fucked up element of like just kind of gross garbage. You know, and I feel like times have changed. You know, it's not like, big hair and cocaine, like it's about that crap. There's not even record labels anymore. But again, with my criticisms and my criticisms of San Diego, I think the two of them work really well next to each other. You know, and hell, it helped create what is now Retox through 20 years, but a friendship. But I mean, it's a strange thing to perceive and to try to wrap your head around it. You know, because there are so many different elements. You know, even growing up too, like there was so much cool stuff and Boyle Heights. There's like all these hardcore bands, and even the whole power violence, element, or a lot of the straight edge bands and stuff. Like, there's been like a lot of rad stuff. There still is constantly rad stuff coming out of Los Angeles. But when you look at it from an outsider's perspective, you just kind of like, well, you want a facade of rock, a dying rock or something, It does. It reminds me of like a dude that's kind of leathery,
Yeah, just like that. Like Iggy Pop's cheeks, but like all over their body. So you're kicking this tour off this coming Tuesday, on the same day as the release of this heavy hitter, touring Europe, UK, and the United States. What's a day in the life of like for Retox on tour?
Not as exciting as one would think. I mean, there's generally a long drive. We do like an extreme amount of driving, and then load in, sound check, and then you just wait for the show to happen. And then after that, it's like, try to figure out where you're going to sleep. But the day in the life of Retox on tour definitely comes down to I think the dialogue that happens in the van, because I think with Brian and I and Juice, our tour manager, it's a bit bizarre dialogue comes up, and it's anything from just jokes, but to like, I don't know, like just theories about, aliens, or it's like the whole gamut of just stuff, never have a dull moment.
Playing over 40 dates across this planet, almost back to back the whole way through. Over the years, do you find yourself gearing up for tour or preparing differently as the years go on?
The things that I should do, I don't do, because I usually spend the few days before I leave, like trying to get everything taken care of, bills because I mean, I also run 3-1-G, so I have to do all these things, make sure all these things are shipped to distributors, and I don't know, there's all these things I have to do, and then I just go, I probably should have like rehearsed, or I haven't sang in a month, and my voice is gonna, I'm gonna blow my voice out, things like that.
You guys have any other goals other than this tour and supporting this record for 2015?
I'm sure something will happen. There's talk of little things here and there, what everybody has in store. I do have, I did work on Twin City Records, so I think that we're going to be releasing an LP and doing a little bit of touring with that as well. But as far as Retox, I'm sure something will present itself, especially after doing so much touring, we'll cross a path that will kind of tie into the next segment.
We were fucking around on Instagram a little earlier, and we caught this thing. We wanted you to fill us in about what's going on with the NPA, the National Promotions and Advertising, and your guys' posters that have been up around town.
Oh, yeah, I think they just want us to stop. It's just like they're, it's like the legal threatening jargon that I guess they'd have. I don't know how you would really prove it that we did it. It is kind of a triggered out. Like, they addressed it specifically to our rep at Epitaph Self. And I guess myself, I could see why, because it 3-1-G is tied to it. It's online. It says 3-1-G.
Nice voice, Dan.
That was a really great interview with Justin, but when I got the file back from the recorder, we digitally called him to record that interview, and for some reason on my mic, I don't know if the bit rate got fucked up, but my voice went all chipmunky. I'd like to apologize for that. But you can catch Retox when they hit Los Angeles on for this side of the tour on March 10th with Horrors at Los Globos. Yeah. We're planning on being there. We're going to cover the night. And we'll remind you guys as it gets closer. But you can get Beneath California. That comes out tomorrow on Epitaph Records. Get that shit. It's fucking fantastic. We're going to play some of it right now. And then we're going to bring in them Howling Bones. They're out there in the green room enjoying some libations.
Libations.
A panic cacophony.
A panic cacophony. Yeah, it's going to studios.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
No, I don't think so.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, Alex?
It's them howling bones.
I know.
Guess how much?
As much as I love fish eggs?
Don't be ridiculous. But I do love you enough to call Hoagland & Fuqua LLP when you get arrested. Because we all know that's going to happen eventually.
How would that help me? You better cover my bail.
Trust me, the attorneys at Hoagland & Fuqua LLP have your back. Whether it's a DUI or drug-related, they got you.
Sounds bodacious.
Getting in trouble with the law is never an easy thing to deal with. The constant stress over how to get past your sticky situation doesn't have to completely overcome you. The law offices of Hoagland & Fuqua LLP focus on DUI and criminal defense. They will help your case with less of a headache. Contact Hoagland & Fuqua LLP at 626-309-9977. If you're facing any criminal arrest charges, they can help. If your case is drug-related, a DUI, or if you've been charged for something of a more serious nature, just visit their website at www.hoaglandfuqua.com or call 626-309-9977. Hoagland & Fuqua LLP serves anywhere in California, including Los Angeles, San Diego, and Orange County.
A jewelry robbery gone wrong.
Am I the only one acting like a professional?
First things fucking last. Can somebody be...
Okay, like that?
Can somebody please tell me they have the fucking stones? Can somebody please give me that bit of information?
An undercover cop with a secret.
Oh shit, it's happening again. I hope I can get through this heist.
A Pint of Cacophony presents Them Howling Bones.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
Stop putting that gun in my dad!
Right.
Oh, God. Welcome back to A Pint of Cacophony.
What did we just listen to?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was music to my ears. I was like, yeah.
It was supposed to be a movie trailer about, like, Reservoir Dogs, but mixed with a werewolf movie. So, like, Mr. Orange transforms into a werewolf at the... I don't know.
Why not Mr.
I think
Pink?
We got carried away writing that one.
Mr. Pink was dope. I like Mr. Pink better.
Yeah, Mr. Pink was cool. So we got them Helen Bones sitting here in the studio. How you guys doing?
Excellent.
And introduce yourselves.
You good? Yeah, Mitch.
Mitch, how you doing?
Playing guitar and mm-hmm. Helen Bones.
And I'm Pedro, and I just... sing. Mm-hmm. Use a microphone in weird ways.
I sing and stuff.
My name is Mondo. I'm on the bass. That's
right.
What I do.
Right on.
How's it going? I'm calling. And I'm on drums.
Just kidding. He's not here.
So you guys have, let's see, Them Howling Bones. You did a self-release last year. What month did that come out?
November. November 4th.
Tell us about the release. It's your debut kind of full length here, right?
Well, for our release party, we seriously and honestly don't remember. It sucks.
We worked so hard for it.
No, because we worked really hard for it. It was like almost 6 months. Not actually, like 2 years of a process.
Yeah.
And things came through and we got too excited and time went on and even our own friends really don't remember. We got mad beer sponsors, but we don't remember. But I know it was a good time. It was definitely a great time.
Well, do you remember what was there? Who played? Was it, you know,
Yeah, it was our, we played with our good friends, Levitation.
Mm-hmm.
And, Boy.
You don't remember.
Mm. Yeah, no, we don't remember.
The mystery night.
They were sure on there, though.
The mystery night.
And they were great. They were really good.
So did you guys put this out yourself?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why'd you go that route?
We asked around, we had great help, but maybe it was last minute. So we had friends that were going to help us out, but I guess it was too short of a notice. Also, we didn't know when the actual physical CDs and vinyls were going to come through. So we just did it all ourselves.
Yeah, we're doing a DIY right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, of course.
Yeah.
I like that. I like to think that's what we try and, pull off here. And I like seeing that in people who hustle for themselves to get, what's important to them.
Yeah. Well, so far everything has just been ourselves.
I feel like it transfers through on the music. Yeah, and your bullshit detector goes off, you know what I mean? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, that's good. That's a good call.
Yeah, right on. So you guys recorded this thing at a Bamboo recording studio? Where's that son of a bitch at?
That's in Torrance.
Torrance?
In a garage.
It's in a garage?
Yeah, in a garage in Torrance.
How was the conception of this record? Like, did you get one with songs, or were you guys like organically in the studio putting them together?
No, I mean, it took us 2 years really to record the whole thing. We went through two different bands, full bands, a lot of different recordings and
different whiskeys.
Whiskeys. So you guys are a whiskey band? No?
I think
what
so.
What is that?
You guys are a whiskey band?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you got there in front of you? What's that?
You're not supposed to say that in front of me. No, but we got this nice George Dickel Rye whiskey established in 1870.
When I used to play music often, depending on the records, there would be like a record where it was like the PBRs and Hoagies record, because that's all we fucking consumed like through that record. Or like, you notice that when you guys are like working on shit together, like you guys get those phases. Like, all we fucking seem to buy are like chili cheese Fritos and I don't know Hennessy, and then it changes every month.
I think ours was scotch and hot dogs.
Scotch and hot dogs.
Oh no, that was for the recording process. Recording process was actually good stuff. Scotch and like these delicious gourmet hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really. They were witness to snow. Just because they were close by. But in the writing process, it's just a cheap little bottle, and we just crank down songs and some work. We try them out, and just like probably everybody else's formulas, we just put them out there. And if nobody likes them, or people are like digging it, they're like, oh, cool. If they don't, then we just like keep on going. And we just write a lot.
Gotcha.
More than everything, we just write a lot. Little whiskey helps us out all the time.
Right.
Biggest influences, though.
So what makes the Howling Bones perspective on life different than that of the common man?
Ooh.
Is it?
Is it?
Half of them work and half don't, and the other half that doesn't just makes up weird ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys actually working grounds us a little bit when they come in.
Sounding pretty good.
I don't know.
You You guys seem to have the chemistry that you need to pull off this style of music. I mean, I don't really know how to describe it. I was tweeting at you guys earlier. I forgot what I even said. It was like Steppenwolf.
Random people.
Steppenwolf on acid mixed with somebody else. I don't remember.
The Brad Pitt guy.
And Tyler Durden. If you mix that together.
Great compliment.
I think it's pretty hard
That's
and hitting.
Great compliment.
Yeah, we played Lucy. We're going to go into Follow You Home. I hope you guys weren't planning on doing that live.
No.
Okay, perfect. Cool. Because when we come back, you guys are going to bring out some fucking acoustics and jam for us, right?
Sounds right.
Excellent.
All right, I'm excited. We got them Hell and Bones here on A Panic of Cacophony. We'll be back.
Feel free to feel pleased.
The Corova Milk Bar sold Milk Plus. Milk Plus Velocet or Synthomesque or Drencrum, which is what we were drinking. This would sharpen you up and make you ready for a bit of the old ultraviolence.
got it. Here's one for you. Did you get it?
Got it.
And wonder what
Welcome back to A Planet of Cacophony. My name's Dan, and we're sitting here with them, Howling Bones, and they have instruments now. You guys have instruments now. How are you guys feeling?
Even better now. That intro. Those are too good, man. That is beautiful.
Right on. Well, so you guys are going to do a couple numbers for us, and I understand you wanted to do Down the Well first.
Down the Well. That good old Down the Well.
Right off of your self-titled that you can get. On we'll explain
iTunes,
that soon. It's on iTunes.
And Amazon. It's CD, baby.
Yeah, it's on CD player.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, go buy that shit.
Or in person. Just hit us up.
That's such a great deal.
We'll pass that like a drug dealer. It's like, yeah, I got you for sure.
We'll meet up in a parking lot.
We can do it.
Whatever y'all need to. Meet us at an In-N-Out. Sending it off the trunk.
Right on. So this song is called Down the Well.
Yes, sir, it is. It's all acoustic. All right, check it out now.
Good, guys. I love it when people get down in here, you know? Like, sometimes it's like, we're all seated, you're bleeding.
Oh, my God.
I'm bleeding.
All right, let's do, you guys, we got one more song. He's got to change the guitar out. So what's this next song you guys are going to do?
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah.
First of all, kind words of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for doing it.
Oh, for sure. That was great.
Is my tuning sound all right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm stoked for you to bring out the slide on this one.
Yeah, the next one's Left 4 Dead.
Thanks.
I mean, Left 4 Dead.
It's like the video game?
Yeah.
Let a cold man die.
Well, that's very different than Left 4 Dead.
Yes, sir. Let a cold man die now. All right, yeah.
That sounded pretty good.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was done. We're it. That was it.
That was it.
Cheers.
All right.
Hope you enjoyed that.
That's on the new record, by the way. On Cold Man Die.
That too. On that good iTunes and Amazon and the whole thing that everybody talks about. When they
you can also get on themhollymoons.com. That's even a better option. Than
or just simple, themhollymoons.com.
All the jokes.
But yeah, this is, sorry, with all seriousness, this is Let a Cold Man Die with Mitch on the get, Mr. Mono Man on the backups, and Tambo, aka our bass player. Here we go. All right now.
Right on. Fucking wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Dude, you rip on that slide guitar. That's fucking fantastic, man.
Oh, thank you. It's very nice of you.
All right, thanks a lot, right, them Howling Bones. Man. We're going to go into this Cuddy Flam track, and then we're going to come back, say goodbye. Yeah, we're going to talk about your website and all that bullshit.
Cuddy Flam.
Cuddy Flam doing See Me Riding. Check out their YouTube channel. They do a lot of really cool, fun stuff as well. Love those dudes.
Cuddy Flam.
Yeah, Cuddy Flam.
Yeah, love those guys. We love
you
know them really well. It's fucking rad.
Yeah.
Their latest video, they put some of our music in there.
Did they? Yeah. Well, how about that shit?
They're cool, man. They like get down on their videos and make their own videos.
Yeah, exactly. They do a really goddamn good job, I think.
Video.
So, nice. Them Howling Bones, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for talking
to us.
Thanks for performing.
Cheers.
You guys sounded fantastic.
Man. Thank you.
You can find the new record, like you said, Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes, themhellandbones.com. You guys got some shows coming up?
Yeah, a few actually.
All right, where you guys playing?
Well, actually, the first time we haven't played in a while, but the next show that we're gonna have is on February 15th, coming up next Sunday at the Continental Room.
Okay.
Place is kicking, and then the 24th is at La Cita. Get a La Cita.
There's a gig down at La Cita. I can picture that.
Yeah.
And then actually on March we're gonna join our good boys Santoros. We're gonna join their last leg of their tour, and we're gonna go to Utah with them.
Nice.
At the Urban Lounge.
Gonna shake up the Mormons.
Yeah.
They love their rock and roll.
That's like chilling in the corner out there, man.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
That's on March 2nd. Like, and on March 3rd, we're gonna be at the Beauty Bar with in Las Vegas with them too.
Cool.
And then in April, our good boys, our good friends, new little system is at Low and Slow. They got a new festival coming out. It's called Spring Break Forever. That's also going to be a good wing.
Sounds
April
cool.
Shout out to them.
Just
really
keep
nice
us,
people.
Just keep us up to date, and we'll post them as normal, and we'll post about your record. Thanks, guys.
Thank
good
you.
Night, everybody. We'll
good
see
you
guys
next
week.
Thanks so much.
Verde.
That's the spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty.